Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Next up, Himasha and Ranmali celebrate Sri Lankan culture and music.
I Bowan Canterbury. Me elemeno horave. Plains FM osse. Obehadavter sami pavanne. Sri Lankitvei.
Deshe abhimane. Sampradaya saha kala samagi. Obahaikwana mama. Himasha gunasekara.
Mama Ranmali egodagamage.
Hi, Bowan Canterbury. On adat mat himashat avilain no agustu maase wadasatahana tekka ape asanan tekka ekatu wenna. Iten himasha
oran male man hitanne ada ape I Bowan Canterbury studio ekata ati vishesha amottek bohoma gaurawaniya amottek apit ekka ekatu wela innawa. E thamai ape prathama nevasika Sri Lankiya thanapathithuma ape maha komisaristuma Mr. Prasanna Gamage Mahatma, ada apit ekka ekathu vela innawa ape wedasatahanata. Itin komisaristumani I Bowan kiyala obathumawa bohomathma gaurawen ape wedasatahanata piligannawa.
I Bowan Himasha Saranmali.
Oh, itin api kelima prashnana patanga.
Oh, man hitanne etumage Christchurch sanchare harima කලබලකාරී හරිම බිසි ෂෙඩියුල් එකක් තිබ්බත් එතුමා අපේ කැන්ටබරි වල ඉන්න අපේ ශ්‍රී ලාංකිකයන් වෙනුවෙන් අපේ ආයිබෝවන් කැන්ටබරි වැඩසටහන සඳහා ලාස්ට් මිනිට් එක වල කරපු රික්වෙස්ට් එකක් උනත් ඒ ආරාධනාව පිළි අරගෙන අද අපේ වැඩසටහනට එකතු වීම සම්බන්ධයෙන් එතුමාට නැවත වතාවක් ස්තුති කරන ගමම්ම අපි මං හිතන්නේ අපේ මේ පුංචි කාල වේලාව ඇතුළතදී අපේ අසන්නන්ට උපරිම තොරතුරු ප්‍රමාණයක් එතුමාගෙන් අහගන්න
ඉතින් අපි මුලින්ම නම් පටන් ගත්තොත් ඔබ මේ තනතුරට පැමිණි ගමන පිළිබඳ සහ රාජසේවයට ඇතුළත් ඔබට ආභාෂය දුන් මුල්ම දේවල් ටිකක් ගැන අපි නිකන් කතා කරොත්
බොහොම ස්තුතියි. අතර මම මේ වැඩසටහනට සහභාගි කරවා ගැනීම ගැන අතර මාස දවසේ ගත තින් ඉතාම කාර්ය බහුල දවසක්. නමුත් අපේ ක්‍රයිස්ට්චර්ච් වල සහ මේ අනිත් මේ අවට ප්‍රදේශවල වාසය කරන ජනතාව අමතන්නට ඔවුන් සමග මෙසේ සම්බන්ධ වීමට ලැබීම ඇත්තටම ඉතාම සතුටු වෙනවා. ඇත්තටම ඔබට ප්ලේන්ස් FM ගුවන්විදුලි සේවයට මම ඉතාම කෘතඥ වෙනවා. ඒ ගැන විදේශ සේවයට හෝ රජයේ සේවයේ රැකියාවක් හැටියට මම ඉස්සෙල්ලාම විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයෙන් පිටත් වුණාට පස්සේ සම්බන්ධ වෙන ශ්‍රී ලංකා විදේශ සේවයට එසේ සම්බන්ධ වීම කිසිසේත්ම විදේශ සේවය ගැන දැනුමක් ඇතුව හෝ ඒ සම්බන්ධයෙන් අධ්‍යාපනය ලබලා එහෙම වෙච්ච දෙයක් නෙවෙයි. මේ ඕක ඉංග්‍රීසියෙන් කියනනම් මම විදේශ සේවයට සම්බන්ධ වුණේ බයි ඩිෆෝල්ට්. ඒකට හේතුවක් තියෙනවා. මොකද අපි මේ උසස් පෙළ විභාගය කරලා අපිට අවුරුදු 3ක් විතර ලංකාවේ ගෙදරට වෙලා ඉන්න සිද්ධ වුණා. ඒ කාල රටේ තිබුණ තත්ත්වයන් විශ්වවිද්‍යාල වහලා තිබුණා. එතකොට අපි විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයට ඇතුළත් වුණේ ඇත්තටම කියනවා නම් අපි තුන්වෙනි අවුරුද්ද ඉන්න ඕන වසරේදී තමයි අපි පළවෙනි අවුරුද්ද ඇතුළත වුණේ. දැන් අපි එළියට එනකොට හරිම අඩුයි රස්සාවල් විභාග පවත්වලා ඉවරයි. එතකොට ඉතින් මේ විදේශ සේවයට බඳවා ගැනීම විභාගය ගැසට් කරලා තිබුණා. ඒකට මගේ යාළුවෙක් කිව්වා මේ අන්න ඔයාට හරියන මේකක් මේ ගැසට් කරලා තියෙනවා මේකට දාලා බලන්න කියලා. ඉතින් මම විදේශ සේවයට ඇතුළත් වෙන විභාගයට අයදුම් කරේ ගැසට් පත්‍රයේ තියුණු අවසාන දිනේ. ඒ අවසාන දිනේත් ලියුම ලියාපදිංචි තැපෑලෙන් ඇප්ලිකේෂන් එක යවන්න ඕන වෙලාවේදී ලියාපදිංචි තැපෑල් ලිපි බාර ගන්න අවසාන මිනිත්තුවේ තමයි මගේ මේ අයදුම් පතත් මම බාර දුන්නේ. ඉතින් එහෙම තමයි විදේශ සේවයට සම්බන්ධනේ. එතකොට 1997 අපේ විභාගය තිබුණා. 1998 ජූලි මාසේ තමයි මම විදේශ සේවයට සම්බන්ධුනේ. එතකොට දැනට අවුරුදු 27ක් තිස්සේ මම විදේශ සේවයේම තමයි මේ දැන් රැකියාව කරන්නේ. එතකොට මම විදේශ සේවයට සම්බන්ධ එතකොට මානව ශාස්ත්‍ර එතකොට ජාත්‍යන්තර සම්බන්ධතා හෝ ආර්ථික විද්‍යාව ඒ සම්බන්ධයෙන් ඉගෙනගෙන ඉපු කෙනෙක් නෙවෙයි. මගේ මූලික උපාධිය කෘෂිකර්ම විද්‍යාව විශේෂ වේදි උපාධිය පේරාදෙණිය විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයේ. ඊට පස්සේ මම ශාස්ත්‍රපති උපාධියක් ඒ කියන්නේ MA උපාධියක් කරා කොළඹ විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයේ ගැටුම් සහ සාමය සම්බන්ධයෙන් අධ්‍යයනය සම්බන්ධයෙන්. ඒ අරෙන්න මගේ එහෙම විශේෂ මේ හා සම්බන්ධ ක්ෂේත්‍රයක අධ්‍යාපනය ලබලා නැහැ. නමුත් මම පොඩි කාලේ ඉඳලම පොත්පත් කියවලා අතර කියවලා ජාත්‍යන්තර සම්බන්ධතා මේක ගෙදර ආභාෂය මිතුරන්ගේ ආභාෂය මගේ ඥාතීන්ගේ ආභාෂය ගොඩක් තිබුණා. ඒකන සාමාන්‍යයෙන් ස්වභාවිකවම යම්කිසි ඇල්මක් සහ දැනුමක් ඒ සම්බන්ධයෙන් තිබුණා. ඉතින් විදේශසේවයට ඇවිල්ලා විදේශ අමාත්‍යාංශයට එනකොටත් මම දන්නේ නැහැ මේක කරන්න තියෙන්නේ මොකද්ද කියලා, මේ රස්සාවේ කරන්න තියෙන. නමුත් අපි හැමෝම දන්නවා ඉතාමත් ප්‍රසිද්ධ මේ කීර්තිමත් විදේශ අමාත්‍යවරයෙක් ලංකාවේ හිටියා ලක්ෂ්මන් කදිර්ගාම කියලා. එතකොට එතුමා තමයි විදේශ කටයුතු අමාත්‍යවරයා. එතුමාගෙන් අපිට විශාල ආභාෂයක් ලැබුණා. එතුමාගේ කාල සීමාවදී ඊට පසුව අමාත්‍යවරුන් ඊළඟට අපේ ලේකම්වරුන් සහ අපගේ ජ්‍යෙෂ්ඨ නිලධාරීන් ඒ හැමදේනාම අපි ඇත්තටම කරන විදේශ සේවය තුළ හදා වඩා ගත්තා. ඉතින් ඒ අනුව තමයි අපි විදේශ මම මේ විදේශ සේවයේ මේ තරම් දුරක් එන්න සමත් වෙලා තියෙන්නේ. ඒක තනියම කරගනිපු දෙයක් නෙවෙයි.
මං හිතන්නේ හරිම රසවත් අතීත අත්දැකීමුත් මතක් කරන ගමන් කොමසාරිස්තුමා හැමදාම වගේම එතුමාගේ මං හිතන්නේ නිහතමානීත්වය හරිම හම්බල් කැරක්ටර් එකක් විදිහට තමයි එතුමා ප්‍රචලිත වෙලා ඉන්නේ. ඉතින් එතුමාගේ දශක ගණනාවක ඒ විදේශීය සේවා අත්දැකීම් සමගින් ප්‍රසන්න ගමගේ මහත්මයා අපේ නවසීලන්තයේ ශ්‍රී ලාංකික මහකොමසාරිස්තුමා විදිහට අපිට ලබා ගන්න පුළුවන් වෙන එක, නවසීලන්තයේ අපිට ලබා ගන්න පුළුවන් වෙන එක මං හිතන්නේ අපි හැමෝගෙම භාගයක්. ඉතින් මහකොමසාරිස්තුමනි, අපි කලින් කතා කරා වගේ අපේ අයිබෝන් කැන්ටබරි වැඩසටහනේ අපි කැන්ටබරි වල ජීවත් වෙන ශ්‍රී ලාංකිකයන් විදිහට අපිට සිංහල, දෙමළ, මුස්ලිම් සහ ඉංග්‍රීසි අසන්නන් ඉන්නවා. ඉතින් ඒ හැමෝටම ප්‍රයෝජනවත් තොරතුරු අද අපි මේ සාකච්ඡාවේදී කතා බහ කරන නිසා අපි මේ සාකච්ඡාවේ ඉතුරු ටික මෙතන ඉඳන් ඉංග්‍රීසි භාෂාවෙන් කරගෙන යන්න කියලා හිතුවා අපේ අසන්නන්ගේ ඉල්ලීමත් එක්ක. So again, we are so lucky to have you in our studio, our High Commissioner, Mr. Prasanna Gamage. And thank you so much for your presence here today. So my first question is, how would you describe the current relationship between Sri Lanka and New Zealand? We know we have been having like relationships, bilateral relationships over a couple of decades, but it's the first time that we have a resident High Commissioner in New Zealand, and it's a very special moment for all Sri Lankans living in New Zealand, and I guess it's the same for Sri Lankans living in Sri Lanka too. So how would you describe the current relationship?
But thank you so much for having me today. And when we are going to talk about the current bilateral relationship with Sri Lanka and New Zealand, we must first look at our relations in the past. Mm. And as we know that Sri Lanka and New Zealand are founder members of the Commonwealth, modern Commonwealth, and we were former British colonies, and New Zealand is still a dominion.
Yes. Yeah.
And also we are founder members of Colombo Plan. And so we have a long history behind us. Mm-hmm. And the first Sri Lankan settlers, Ceylonese settlers, arrived in New Zealand in 1856.
Mm-hmm.
And the first settler, recorded settler, was John Jacob Appu. Mm-hmm. And he arrived in Nelson and he lived in the South Island. And then he moved to Australia. Mm-hmm. But his family returned to New Zealand. And his great-great-granddaughter, minister, was a former minister. She was Mrs. Annette King.
Mm. Mm.
And she was a minister a few times, and she was High Commissioner of New Zealand to Australia. I think she's living in Australia at the moment.
Mm.
So we have some beautiful history behind our countries.
That's a very interesting piece of history because that's the first time that I've ever heard the relationship between Sri Lanka and New Zealand goes back to like 1800s. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yes, and if I go back a little, and then again, you know that there's a famous girls' school in Colombo, Ladies' College.
Mm.
And one of its principals from 1916 to 1944, Miss Gwen Opi.
Mm.
And she was from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nice.
And a graduate of University of Christchurch.
Mm.
She studied physics, mathematics and chemistry and went to Sri Lanka and taught at Ladies' College and became its principal in 1916. And she was there until 1944 as its principal.
Mm.
And then she died in Colombo in 1957. She was buried at Borella Cemetery.
Oh, that's very
And her sister also taught at the ladies' college, and she also lived in Sri Lanka, and she returned to Christchurch in 1990, and then she died in Christchurch later on. Mm. And above all, the first professor of physics of University College of Ceylon, the former, that this is before the establishment of the University of Colombo. Mm. It was then called University College of Ceylon. Mm. And first professor of physics was Professor John Wilkie Hinton. Mm-hmm. And he was from Dunedin.
Oh.
And he was a product of University of Otago. And he was invited by Sir Ernest Rutherford to become a researcher at the Cavendish Laboratory at Cambridge University. But he turned down that offer and went to Sri Lanka and became first professor of physics at Colombo University College.
Yeah. I think that's a big win for Sri Lanka, having
but,
him
but
there.
But he untimely died in Ceylon due to pneumonia. Uh-huh. And that's some part of history behind our two countries. And the modern relationship starts during colonial times, and then we have moved on, and then we have a really strong relationship now, both politically, economically, and above all, people-to-people contacts. Very strong Sri Lankan community living in New Zealand. Yes. And during the very recent visit of Minister Winston Peters to Sri Lanka, the two countries have identified four key areas for cooperation, like agriculture, sports, tourism, agriculture, tourism, sports, and education.
Yeah.
And today I met with the two authorities of two universities here, Lincoln and Canterbury.
Yeah.
So there we are now. And we have seen very high-level exchanges between the two countries starting from early 50s. Prime Minister Walter Nash visited Sri Lanka in 1958 and to donate National Milk Board to Sri Lanka and Ambevela Farm. We still call it New Zealand Farm. And the Dental Training Institute in Maharagama. And all these things are early days of our relationship, bilateral relationship. And so we maintain very strong links between the two countries. We always think about cricket and rugby, but it's more than that.
And I'm pretty sure it's going to be another golden era with your arrival here at Wellington.
I think it's amazing that our community gets to know this amazing history as well, because I don't think many of us know this much. And it's really good to get in touch with our roots and know our history.
Yes.
So let me go to the next question. So I'm sure the community is interested in to know what kind of support the High Commission provides for Sri Lankans living in New Zealand. So for including students, families, or any working professionals. So can you explain a little bit more on what the supports are?
With regard to our community, let me get back to the functions of a diplomatic mission.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. High Commission or an embassy, both absolutely are the same.
Mm.
Two different names, because High Commissions are located in former British colonies.
Mm.
And we say Commonwealth countries, and the embassies are in the other countries. So we have three key focus areas. One is bilateral relations, that is between, for us, New Zealand and Sri Lanka. And then trade, investment, all these things are there. In addition to all these things, it is our duty to attend to needs of our communities. So when we look at what we are doing for community, we call it consular services. Basically, that's number one. That is, when they need to get a new passport, when they want to register the births of their children, and now when they want to apply for dual citizenship, and many other needs like that, for a Sri Lankan pensioner to get his or her life certificate signed, and then a power of attorney and legal document. So we provide those consular services to the community. That is the main link with the community. And also sometimes Sri Lankan citizens, sometimes they face problems, and they might face difficult situations here. And sometimes they commit sometimes crimes, and then sometimes they are in need of considerable assistance. Not legal assistance. We can't provide legal assistance. We can't provide financial assistance. We can't mediate in disputes and personal issues. And we can't do anything against the law of the host country, that is New Zealand. So we have some limitations. But within those limitations, we have many ways of helping our communities, consular services, any other services, and patronizing community events and participating at programs like this, cultural events, and linking people with the New Zealand government, and so many things. I think I can't explain within a very short period of time like this, the long process. So in Sinhala, if we, if I put it, අපි තමයි මහ ගෙදර මේ ජීවත් වෙන ශ්‍රී ලාංකික ප්‍රජාවගේ ඒ ප්‍රජාව සිංහලද දෙමළද මුස්ලිම්ද බර්ගර්ද එහෙම වෙනසක් නැහැ. So we it's the house.
So Sri Lanka house. The High Commission at Wellington is going to be the family home for all Sri Lankans living in New Zealand. So Mr. Prasanna, do you have any specific plans for Sri Lankans living in South Island? Like, you, we know, like, you know, the High Commission is, like, as you said, like, our family home is located in Wellington, but we live in, like, South Island, like, far away from Wellington. So is there any specific future plans for, like, South Island Sri Lankans to to make their life a little bit easy, rather flying all the way to Wellington for their consular services?
I don't want to put it like in in that way, like North Island and South Island, because geographical location of New Zealand as a country, it's of course no one of course can change this. There are two islands, and in Sri Lanka we have many islands around us. So the North and South Islands, we do the same. Of course, we'll extend same services, but what we are going to do in the future, once our office is fully functional, in the sense we are still establishing the office, a lot of logistics to be completed. So we will do mobile services in the South Island and main cities like Christchurch, Dunedin, in Invercargill, and also similarly in Auckland, Hamilton, and other areas. So that's one of our objectives. And also to patronize events, community events in the South Island, as and when we are invited, as and when we are permitted by the Foreign Ministry to attend all these things. So we will be patronizing all our community events, and also all other important events, maybe cultural, maybe trade or tourism-related events. So that's what we are going to do. It's a long way ahead, but we know what we should do. About consular services, you don't need to physically come always to Wellington, and we can do it by post, and we can guide the community to do those, all these things, to prepare the applications in a perfect manner, pre-email everything before sending it as the final document to us. Then we can verify, go through, and then instruct or advise the applicants. You do this way and that way. You have to submit this document, the document, all these things. We will we will do beforehand. And then I don't think, given the very high literacy rate of the community here, you know, the Sri Lankan, if you look at Sri Lankan community, we have a 21.5 million population. Out of that, closer to 3 million live overseas. And in New Zealand, we know official statistics is that about 24,000 Sri Lankans are living in New Zealand. But is it closer to 40,000 now?
It's growing.
I think it's growing really fast.
Definitely after COVID. Because here in South Island, we have noticed like the last couple of years, of families across Canterbury and across South Island. It's been amazing. We love seeing growing Sri Lankan community to be honest. So, Mr. Prasanna, now that we have a growing Sri Lankan community in South Island and Canterbury and across New Zealand overall, like, what do you think, like, what role can this Sri Lankan diaspora living in New Zealand, like which ways they can contribute to the bilateral connections between Sri Lanka and New Zealand. I mean, for an example, we know Sri Lanka has been going through a turmoil a few years ago, and the country is still recovering, and we have new hopes for the country. So we have New Zealand-based Sri Lankan entrepreneurs who want to operate business in Sri Lanka, and we also have Sri Lankans who want to operate business in New Zealand.
Mm.
So having a Sri Lankan High Commissioner at Wellington is going to strengthening that connection or the process?
Yes, that's a very timely and a very, very important question. And diaspora is always the key. I'm a strong believer in people-to-people contacts.
Because
we have a very limited role as official representatives of government. As we are bound by certain international conventions. And I can't just go and meet each and everyone. There are some limitations in our role as ambassadors and high commissioners. You may think that we can do each and everything under the sun, but it's not that. Coming back to the role of diaspora, very, very important. And mainly because you are the link between our country and New Zealand. And let's say Kiwis and Sri Lankans. And you bring our culture here, and the diaspora bring our culture here. And our food, you name it, everything. And then you symbolize what Sri Lanka is. So that... it's the linkage that you make with the Kiwi community here. And what you can do is that in with regard to businesses, you can introduce Sri Lankan products here. And we are facilitators. So we act as the conduit between two parties. So we can link people. And that role we play. And what you have to do is that bring your Kiwi friends to your events, cultural events, food and interest. This is what sadly lacking. I have experienced this overseas when we are posted overseas. That our communities, when communities grow bigger, we have a lot of our own kind of people, So we limit our interactions only within our communities. We don't get our...
Approach the, approach the local communities.
They really love our things. And
if,
let's say Sinhala Tamil New Year Festival. Bring your Kiwi friends to that and get them participate at games and introduce them to our food there. And even a religious festival, a dansala. You can't get them to observe a seal on the poet day. But you have many other
there
things.
There are many
that
others
you,
we can
I think the cultural show we had a couple of months ago was like a classic example for that, where we could sort of like
good,
link the Kiwis and Sri Lankans. Not just Kiwis, like
any
a wide range of ethnic groups together to introduce Sri Lankan culture and arts to them. I think your next question sort of aligned with that.
So how does the High Commission support or plan to promote this Sri Lankan cultural arts and heritage? So I know we've, I think mostly Auckland, the North Island, has been active with cultural. And I think the
They've been always proactive, but it's
I think
nice
the South Island's catching up now. So do you have any plans? Can we talk about a little bit of that?
That's also a good question, because North Island, you perceive, everyone perceives that North Island is more active than the South Island. That is because the stronger population, the number,
Absolutely.
When you have large numbers, then you have a lot of community organizations. They have the strength, and then they can do a lot. And the community is smaller. You don't have that advantage. It's always a comparative advantage. So. But you can't measure or gauge what you do just based on the higher numbers. It's a kind of value addition. What you do is matter in the end. So what we can do is that foreign ministry, we are under foreign ministry, it doesn't function in isolation. So we need the support from other line agencies like Sri Lanka Tourism Board, Cultural Ministry, Board of Investment, Export Development Board, and all these things are we should act together. Yes. So there should be some synergy. Mm. So we usually function like that. So we get the assistance from others. Yeah. So with regard to promotion of Sri Lanka, we are planning to do a tourism promotion for the first ever one in New Zealand in October this year.
Mm-hmm.
And also there are some events in the pipeline with regard to trade and investment, exchange of delegations, and exchange of cultural delegations, and send in some Kiwi delegations to Sri Lanka. We are going to plan these things for the next couple of years.
Yes. Yeah.
And also, we patronize community events, like what I'm going to do today, that we have been invited to attend this event. Then we come and represent the government, and then we get connected with the community. Mm. So we have a facilitator role, and also we become patrons of community organizations, events, and that's how we function.
Yeah.
So it's not a sort of a...
It's not just there for the consular services, but it's more than that.
This is the general perception of any expatriate community.
Yeah.
Not only Sri Lanka, maybe India and others. Any what they think is that we are here to help them and to attend to their needs.
Yeah.
Of course, that is our main priorities.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not the not only one.
Yeah. It's more than that. It's always going to be cultural hub connecting two cultures together.
That's right. Yeah. And if I look at my meetings in the morning, starting with University of Lincoln and then University of Canterbury, and the meeting the mayor of Christchurch, and then the Christchurch Chamber, all these things are very important partners of our work.
Yes.
And if we want to achieve progress in four areas that the two countries have identified, we need the support of everyone.
Yeah.
And in the end, we need the support of diaspora.
Yes.
Because you are directly linked to all these Kiwi institutions.
Mm.
And without that, we can't do anything on our own.
Absolutely.
And it's always it's a teamwork, a collective effort. And otherwise, you can't do anything in isolation. You can do, but I don't think you will be successful in the end, and you will be able to achieve your objectives.
Mm.
So it should be very sort of a holistic, exercise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And Mr. Prasanna, we know you are coming from humble backgrounds, born to Sri Lankan parents. You are a product of public education system in Sri Lanka, and you bring so much knowledge and experience with your work experience across the globe to New Zealand, and we are so lucky to have you. And we have a growing young community here at Canterbury, like growing Sri Lankan young generation.
Mm-hmm.
So what advice would you give to them to connect their roots in Sri Lanka?
It's a
Sri Lankan.
It's a very difficult question to answer, and it depends on who you are.
Mm.
And one thing is that we are, of course, coming from a very multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religious country.
Yeah.
It's a very pluralistic society, and sadly, unlike India, we haven't undergone a nation-building process.
Mm.
So we still live in Sri Lanka as segregated communities: Sinhala, Tamil, Muslim, Burger.
Yeah.
So I always say that we are not yet one Sri Lankan nation.
Mm.
It's a difficult concept to understand because of this, culturally, linguistically.
Mm-hmm.
We are very, very similar to each other. We have similarities, not differences or dissimilarities between us. But still, we still have some issues. And this is my personal view.
Mm-hmm.
As Sri Lankans, I think we always have open hearts,
open
our
hearts,
hospitality, kindness. Yeah, it's always there.
I think,
as Sri Lankans.
Yeah. So for the growing number of Sri Lankans, especially younger ones, professional, my advice is that don't ever forget your roots.
Yes.
And you said that we are products of free public education, and we are indebted to our taxpayers for that. And it's that's the key and public education, a good university degree or professional qualification is the key to open many doors, and that key matches so many. N number of doors, and because of that key, many have been able to come into this country and settle down here, and then start very good very good lives here, so don't forget
the roots. And your country needs your contribution still, even though you're far away from Sri Lanka.
You can contribute in many ways, and be it financially, may your knowledge, and you can be a
entrepreneurship,
and if you are working at a university here, then you can supervise several PhD students from Sri Lanka, and you can share your research with Sri Lanka, and I must tell this today because I have this opportunity, and remit some funds to Sri Lanka, and foreign remittances is one of the key elements of our earnings, our GDP now, because I'll tell, this is a bit of a grim situation. And last year, we have received about $2.7 billion as foreign remittances. Out of that, 80% of remittances have come from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. And there, we have a lot of Sri Lankan unskilled blue-collar workers employed. And if you look at that, from New Zealand and Australia, we have received only 0.6% there. So it's a very, very small
number. Yeah, it's very small.
It's a bit of a grim statistic.
Yeah. But Comparing to the diaspora we have here,
to financial strength of diaspora, the quality of life and their professional status here. But we at the same time, we understand that you have a lot of things to, of course, meet here. Expenses like children's education, mortgages, housing, all this, and all those are there. But still, there are so many opportunities. So what I want for the community is to contribute professionally, financially, and culturally. In the tourism, in our tourism, you can contribute. You can take some of Kiwi friends to visit Sri Lanka. And they really love Sri Lanka, the younger Kiwis. And it's not cricket and rugby only. There are so many things to do.
I think if any Kiwi Lankans have been feeling that they've been forgotten by Sri Lanka, but now we have a Sri Lankan High Commissioner here. So we have a family home here in New Zealand. So I think now it's the time to start that relationship and looking back at our roots and helping our country, especially now that we have our High Commissioner here. And so it's going to be a new chapter between Sri Lanka and New Zealand.
Yes, I think Mr. Prasanna already answered my final question, which was, what message would you like to share with the Sri Lankan community? So if you want to say some final words.
My final words. I'm the official High Commissioner of Sri Lanka to New Zealand. And I have the fortune of being the first resident High Commissioner of Sri Lanka to New Zealand. That I'm, of course, proud and also deeply humbled about it. But each and every Sri Lankan, irrespective of the nationality, ethnicity or religion or whatever, are an ambassador of Sri Lanka in this country. So our community is very, very highly respected, regarded by every New Zealand leader here. Everyone I have met so far, they always speak about our community with very, very high praise.
That's great to hear.
A very, very highly respected community. So everyone should be ambassadors of Sri Lanka in New Zealand, and they should be proud of being Sri Lankan or having Sri Lankan origins. And that's the best thing they can do for Sri Lanka. And be very proud citizens of New Zealand, but with roots based in Sri Lanka. That's my message to everyone.
That's very lovely. I think Mr. Prasanna speaks to all our community hearts.
I think that's a very good message. I think I've recently listened to an interview conducted with the first resident New Zealand ambassador in Sri Lanka. Mm. And what he said was his two-year-old son called himself a Sri Lankan because they moved to Sri Lanka when he was two. Yeah. And people are like open-hearted, so welcoming, and they felt they are part of the community. So the little kid recognized himself as a Sri Lankan. I think that's what we maintain here. Yeah. Our Sri Lankan diaspora living in New Zealand, always open-hearted. They are open to people. They carry their qualities from Sri Lanka. And my last question for you, Mr. Prasanna, is I think everybody is keen to know what's there for them from the Sri Lankan High Commissioner. So in need, how can they reach to High Commissioner? Like, let's mention briefly what sort of social media or website or things that are there for them to reach to.
Yes, that's a good question. Of course, we are still in the process of establishing ourselves and our office here. Mm-hmm. So our website is still under construction. It will be very soon launched. Mm. We have a hotline and we have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And hotline, I can't remember the number offhand, but when you go to our Facebook page, or if you Google us, you will get that hotline. And the best way to reach us right now is through email. Mm. We have our email, slhc.wellington@gmail.com. That is the best email. Mm. Each and every email we receive, we respond within 48 hours. We do that very, very regularly. Mm. So slhc.wellington@gmail is the best way to reach us because our hotline is always inundated with calls.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a small issue when you communicate with someone and that people forget to leave a voice message.
That's true.
So then we can't get back to them.
Mm.
This is a very, very common thing. And what they say is that, oh, we called that number a few times and they didn't answer.
Yeah. Classic Sri Lankan response, I think.
It's not only Sri Lankan. Yeah. I hear that from each and every, probably.
Yeah, across the globe. Yeah.
So, colleagues of mine issue, here. Yeah. Common, very common issue. Because your psyche is that you should be answered.
Yes.
And, so it doesn't happen always. Yeah. It's humanly impossible to do that.
Yeah.
So we really like to receive an email.
Mm. And I bet then, at the moment you have limited staff also operating in Wellington High Commission.
Yes.
Yeah.
Including me, it's only four of us.
Yeah.
So, you believe it or not, we started our official work on 3rd March this year.
Mm.
It's 5 months now.
Yes.
We have received closer to 500 passport applications.
Oh, wow.
That's
a lot. We are not a digitalized country.
Yeah.
So we have to process each and every application manually.
Mm.
And it's a thick application with large number. We have to go through each and every page and each and every supporting documents.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It consumes at least half an hour for one application.
Mm. Mm. That's true.
So it's not a simple task because we are not New Zealand or Australia. We are still Sri Lanka.
Yeah, and still pretty new to New Zealand.
Zealand.
We would pass that message to all our audience because please bear your patience with our High Commission office because they have very limited staff, so they are trying to maximize the resources for all of us living in New Zealand. I think that's a wrap up for our program today. Thank you so much, Mr. Prasanna, our very first resident High Commissioner.
And congratulations again.
And a big congratulations again to you. And thank you so much for dedicating your time here with us at Plains FM for I, Bowen Canterbury today. Among your very tight schedule, you look tired.
hopefully you'll
really appreciate it.
thank you very much for having me this today.
Thank you.
Let's meet up with another episode next month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Himasha Gunasekara.
I'm Ranmali Godagamage.
පෙළ ජාතික අභිමානේ වැඩු විරුවන් සේ පොරණේ මව් බිම සව් සිරෙන් සරසව් ඉබිදෙව් ඉබිදෙව් සරසෙව් පෙළ ජාතික අභිමානේ වැඩු විරුවන් සේ පොරණේ සව් සිරියෙන් කරසව් ඉබිදෙව් ඉබිදෙව් සරසෙව් ඊරවි කුම්පෑ පෙර දරුණෝ රස මුර කෙරුවෝ එල්ලය ඇති ඔබ සුරවිරුවෝ නොම වවු නය කරුවෝ දැය දිවුනට පැද යන නැවියා ගොවියා බිම දෙවියා සපතෙහි විපතෙහි නොතලෙයි නොසැලෙයි අටලෝ දම හුරු හෙලයා සපතෙහි විපතෙහි නොතලෙයි නොසැලෙයි අටලෝ දම හුරු හෙලයා හෙළ ජාතික අභිමානේ වැඩු විරුවන් සේ පොරණේ ඉනු මව් බිම සව් සිරියෙන් සරසව් ඉබිදෙව් ඉබිදෙව් සරසෙව් දත දෙන මහ ගංගා කුඹුරට යලි හරවා ධාන්‍ය වගා කොට Siri ලක්මේ පෙර දිග කෙත කරවා අර පිරි මැස් මත පුරුදු වෙලා විඳලා දුක සංකා බර කුම් යුගයක් නැවතත් අරඹව නිජ ජාතික අභිමානේ වැඩු විරුවන් සේ පොරණේ ඉනු මව් බිම සව් සිරියෙන් සරසව් ඉබිදෙව් ඉබිදෙව් සරසෙව් එළ ජාතික අභිමානේ වැඩු විරුවන් සේ පොරණේ ඉනු මව් බිම සව් සිරියෙන් සරසව් ඉබිදෙව් ඉබිදෙව් සරසෙව්